L'Ashana Tova Tiketevu. Happy New Year, and may your name be inscribed in the Book of Life. Have you ever wondered why this is the traditional greeting at Rosh Hashanah? Why is our New Year's greeting a hopeful wish? Why is it that we as Jewish people seem to lack the full assurance that our names are written in the Book of Life? Studying the life of the patriarchs, and especially the life of Abraham, the first Jew, it seems they hardly lacked assurance. Which brings us to another tradition at Rosh Hashanah, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, the passage read and spoken about during Rosh Hashanah. It is suggested by Jewish scholars that it was on the first of Tishri, on Rosh Hashanah, that God gave Abraham this command to sacrifice his only son Isaac. This evening, I'd like us to take a closer look at Genesis 22, which was just read. And I think as we look at it, I think three points will emerge. Firstly, God's proving. Then God's provision. And thirdly, God's principle. God's proving, God's provision, and God's principle. So firstly, God's proving. Just some brief background information. Genesis 21 begins with the birth of Isaac, the miracle child born to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had been barren her whole life, and now finally, at 90, she bears this child of promise. And then chapter 22 begins with God's instruction to Abraham. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Crazy. What was God thinking? Hadn't God promised Abraham that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore? So why this? It was a test. Did Abraham truly love God above everything else, even above this long-awaited son whom he truly loved? What a choice. Why do you think Abraham was put to a test like this? But I think all of us know that tests are inevitable. They're a part of our everyday life. Be it tests in school, tests for health, or even our driving. But the tests that really count are the ones that teach us about a person. Tests that show the real character. The ones that show the true heart condition. And I'm not talking about our cholesterol levels. But whether or not if someone is a mensch, a person of character. And God knows exactly how to conduct the kind of test that shows whether or not we're a person of character. It's the test that proves. And there are no cliff notes available, no shortcuts, no cheating. And so Abraham is presented with this test to show his character. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Isn't that unfair, you may ask? How can God put such a choice before Abraham? Friends, we must not confuse uncomfortable with unfair. Remember, who's the one conducting this test? This is the creator of the universe, God Almighty, who said, "You shall have no other gods before me." And here Abraham is put to the test to prove whether he truly loved God above everything else, even above this long-awaited son whom he loved. We all too glibly recite, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levecha. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But do we really mean it? And we can cry to God, why? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why have you put me in this situation? No. That as with Abraham, God challenges you and I as to what our affections and devotions are set on. Our life is the proving ground. What will our response be? Will it be like Abraham's? Verse 3 says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut up enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Total obedience. Yes, there must have been anguish. Yes, this made absolutely no sense. But Abraham obeyed. And why? Because Abraham knew and loved God. He had faith. And faith is not wishful thinking, pie in the sky, hopes and dreams. No. Faith is the confident reliance on what God has promised, a trust and deep-seated hope. Abraham knew what God had promised concerning the son Isaac, and that is why he could say to his servants in verse 5, just before heading out to sacrifice Isaac, he says, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." And to Isaac when he says, "Father, the fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now many of us can attest to the fact that our children have asked some tough questions, but I'm sure this one tips the scales. And what does Abraham say? He says, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Now that's faith. And faith coupled with obedience was the mark of Abraham. Abram built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God put Abraham to the test, and Abraham passes. "Now I know that you fear God." Or as the contemporary English version puts it, "Now I know that you truly obey God." But God not only tests, he also provides, which is our second point tonight. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught up by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Notice, folks, at what point God provides. For Abraham, the anticipation of what he had to do was probably a whole lot worse than the act itself. Yet when did God provide? Not on the way. Not while he was building the altar. Not as he was putting his son on the altar, but at the greatest point of need. As the knife was raised and the deed was as good as done, that's when God said stop. Oh, we would like for God to provide at our point of convenience, but he doesn't do that. He meets us at our point of greatest need, and that's exactly when he provides. Also notice how much he provides. A single ram caught in the thicket, just what is needed, no more and no less. Do you remember when God provided the manna in the wilderness? Just enough for each day, with a double portion for the Sabbath. And that's what he promises to provide for you and I, no more and no less. God tests Abraham, and once Abraham passes the test, God steps in and graciously provides. He provides at the greatest point of need, and he provides just enough. But this narrative tells us more than just how God tests and how he provides. God is teaching us an important principle, the third and final point tonight, which I believe is the most important aspect. We need to ask ourselves, what are we to learn from this story? It's a nice story, written thousands of years ago. But what principle can we draw from this for our own lives? I believe that the binding of Isaac points to an important, if not the most important, point and principle in all of Scripture. You see, the Akedah is the very first example in the Bible of a substitutory sacrifice, a ram in exchange for Isaac. Verse 13 tells us, "In place of." As the knife was about to come down on Isaac, God says, "Stop. I will provide." The very name Abraham gave that place was Adonai Yireh, "The Lord will provide." And he did. God miraculously provided a substitution for Isaac that day. But you know, folks, It's more than just that event that happened on that day. You see, as Abraham stood on Mount Moriah, all of creation paused to watch the foreshadowing of an even greater event that was yet to come. The central event of human history, when someday God himself would provide for all time and for all people the substitution each one of us so desperately needs through the substitutionary death and resurrection of Yeshua Jesus, our Messiah. In the letter to the Romans, the rabbi turned apostle Paul echoes this thought when he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. You see, God spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his own son. And again, in the familiar words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God says the knife is coming down on every one of us. Judgment for our sin, for the wrongdoing that we have done. But God says, stop. I will provide. I will provide my son in place of you. In the words of John the Baptist, when he saw Yeshua Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was drawing on the picture foreshadowed throughout the Hebrew Bible. The idea of God providing a substitutionary sacrifice in place of. Let's take a look at a few instances. Firstly, we just saw in the Akedah, the ram dies in place of Isaac. Again, as judgment comes down on Egypt, God said to Israel at the Passover, take a lamb, slay it, and put its blood on the doorpost of your homes so that death will pass over. The lamb dies in place of repentant Israel. Again, in the sacrificial system highlighted in Leviticus, the animal died on behalf of repentant Israel again, portrayed graphically through the one sacrifice of Yom Kippur, the one animal bearing the sins of an entire nation. The animal at Yom Kippur dies in place of Israel. And these were pictures. Pictures foreshadowing what was prophesied so vividly by the Jewish prophet Isaiah when he said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This one, the servant, the Messiah, would bear our iniquities, our sins, as God offers his life in place of you and I. Yeshua passed the test of all tests. He completely obeyed God, even to the point of dying a gruesome death on the cross. And why was God willing to allow this? Why did God not stop short the way he did for Isaac? Because we read, God loves us. He loves us that much that he is willing to do for us what Abraham was spared from doing. God provides his son. His one and only son. So that this year at Rosh Hashanah, we don't need to say, Lashona Tova Tiketebu, may your name be inscribed in the book of life. But instead, for those of us here tonight who have accepted that Yeshua Jesus is the one who died in place of our wrongdoing, we can confidently say, thank you, Lord, for I know that my name has indeed been written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. And it's with this sense of gratitude and assurance that we celebrate these high holidays. And so indeed, we have every reason to say, Lashana Tova, a happy new year.